Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
What is going on? What day is it?
I figured if we waited like another couple days, we could record like
back-to-back episodes. But let me tell you what, this works out, right? Because this weekend's a special weekend. We got the Red Rose Film Festival.
Huge.
We're going to be recording live.
What?
I know, people can stop by the Hotel Lancaster, is that what the place is called?
It's called the Holiday Inn. Okay. It used to be the Brunswick. It's on the corner of Queen, what is that, Queen and Orange?
Oh, Chestnut.
Chestnut. It's across from Binns Park, across from
Federal Tap House.
Yeah.
I always want to call it the Hotel Brunswick, which is...
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But we're going to be there from...
11:30 to 1:30 up on the second floor.
Oh, boy. And anyone can stop by.
Yep.
We're going to be just chit-chatting. We're going to be talking with some of the people who made some of the movies.
Some of the filmmakers.
Yeah.
The guy who's running the whole festival will stop by.
Oh, my gosh. And people can come up and they can watch. They can interact.
Yeah.
You can ask us questions on the show live.
We're going to do it live. We will resolve for once and for all.
Yeah.
Whether or not David and Pirate Dave are the same person or separate people. Because there's a rumor that Pirate Dave is going to stop by.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Sunday, they talk about how a black hole opened up. It's when two of the same people met.
Right.
And time collapsed into itself.
Then you will know.
Yeah,
that will be your answer.
So definitely catch us there. But that means that we got to do, we're going to have extra news now because we're going to be doing other stuff this weekend. So.
Right. It's going to be wild. Right. You know what the best part of my week was?
What?
I feel like it's been forever since I saw you.
Oh.
Really bummed
and
me
a
out.
Day.
Right. Forever and 2 days. The best part of my week was when people started texting me. Like, the first text came in Monday night, and then I got two on Tuesday morning, like, giving me shit. Like, where's the podcast? When's the episode? Where is it? What are you guys doing? You suck. Where is it?
I started to get them, too. They were like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
I just thank you very much. I don't need to name names. One of them, we'll just let them be a mystery.
Whoa.
Gobble. And then I also want to shout out. Now, this could be a listener's notes, but as long as we're on the topic of like us being a few days late.
Yeah.
Shout out to our boy Joel for the the comment on the meme about Penn doing grown-up shit. Sounds awful.
It sounds horrible. I guarantee he was crying the whole time.
Right. Too good.
Well, let's get into, we got news.
Yeah. And how.
And how. All right. This is. I don't know if this is controversial. I don't know how to really attack this one. Joker is now the biggest R-rated movie in the world. Surprised?
No.
How do you feel? Do you feel it's earned biggest? Well, I mean, it has, but do you think it's worthy of the title?
Who cares? No, I mean, and here's what I mean by that. Like, I want to talk about the highest grossing film of all time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about the highest grossing R-rated movie, the highest grossing PG-13, the highest grossing movie with a tall Caucasian male lead, the highest grossing movie to be released on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, I bet that's a killer.
You know what I mean? Like, like you keep narrowing it down. Like, who cares? Like, so what did it beat out? Hangover or Deadpool?
Deadpool.
And Deadpool beat out Hangover. And I get it. Like, I get it that it's significant because you're sort of, the idea is that it's more special because you're losing that whole PG-13 audience, you know, which sort of narrows. And that's why being the highest grossing R-rated movie is special. But so is it worthy? Absolutely. Okay. Like, to me, it's the best R-rated movie. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not sure I'm ready to say that just
Whoa.
Yet. Pump the brakes on that, because isn't Godfather rated R?
I think it is.
I think so.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to revisit that topic.
Mm. I mean, I'm kind of with you on this one. I think it's more of a headline because, I think it's more of a headline because it's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
And I think they're like, oh, it's superhero movies. They should be dark and gritty and like this. But I stand by the notion that this movie is barely, it's fantastic.
Yes.
But it's like, I'm it's with you. Barely a superhero movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's barely rated R. To me, it's a soft R.
Yeah, it's definitely, you're right.
You know, like Deadpool was an R-rated movie filled to the brim with raunchy R-rated jokes the whole, from the beginning to the end, the whole way. This movie to me is appropriate to be rated R. Mm-hmm. I'm not arguing that, but it's what you would call a soft R.
Yeah.
So it's barely rated R, and it's, you're saying, so let's go back to you. You have the more interesting comment here.
Okay.
It's barely a superhero movie?
Right. I think that this movie could be just as good if it was just about a man going crazy.
So if the name of the movie was Arthur instead of Joker.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they took the Joker stuff out, or even made it kind of ambiguous. Maybe he's the Joker, maybe, you know,
that
instead of calling
been,
it straight out like it is.
That would have been great. Like, you know how people make modern movies and they don't say that it's a reimagining of, like, Shakespeare?
Right.
But it's like, but it is.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. That would have been really cool to have, like, a dark, gritty, R-rated movie called Arthur.
Yeah.
You know, with all the elements. So the intelligent people who sort of know their history and know their comic literature can sort of see that and
right.
be like, oh, shit, that was cool. That was really, you know, not a takeoff, but, you know, it was a nod or whatever to Joker.
Right.
Maybe that'll come.
Yeah. Yeah. I people are clamoring for a sequel, and I don't want one.
I do.
You do?
Definitely.
Really? Because I think it's so good, like, don't touch it again.
It's so good, and the sequel will pale in comparison.
Right.
I mean, we already, like, there's no two ways about it.
Right.
But
right.
it was so good, like, I walked out of that theater, and I was like, I want another. Mm. I want more.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on from the Joker, but also speaking of film grosses and gross film. The ultimate wager update. How about that segue, huh?
Do tell. Do tell.
Do tell. Okay, Star Wars ticket sales. They're yes. saying it's like
popping.
through the roof.
It's crazy.
Insane.
Crazy.
Beating out Avengers, right?
No.
No, but pre-sales.
Yes.
Right. Now, here's the thing that I saw. Specifically, it listed beat out pre-sales on Adam tickets.
Right.
Which to me means nothing.
I can only speak for Penn Cinema.
Right.
But when Avengers went on sale,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't keep up with it.
Right.
Every time you click to refresh, the number was like dramatically more.
Wow.
Like, oh my God. They're literally the tickets, it was like the odometer in a car was just rolling. Like just like mm-hmm. I never saw anything like it. The pre-sales for Star Wars are great. Don't get me wrong. They're crazy, but they're not Avengers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and I, it was interesting because I asked my guy at Disney, I said, is Star Wars going to, you know, are we talking about Avengers here? And it was really funny. His response made both of us laugh. He said, no, it's just Star Wars. Like, so Avengers has secured for itself its own
tier.
Distinction, its
yeah.
own tier. Exactly. Star Wars is right there. It's a massive tier. It's
yeah.
it's the king of the box office,
right.
but it's not Avengers. Like, Avengers is almost like unrelated because it's so, like, that was so such a unique one-off, like, crazy thing.
Right, right. And one of the things I was hearing from other people is, like, it's just pre-sales. Like, the weekend could hit and it could change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, depending on initial reactions, like, things could go up, down.
I discounted that whole headline because mm-hmm. of the fact that it said, like, for Adam, what was it, Atomic? Or Adam
tickets.
Adam
yeah.
tickets. Like, again, it goes back to my thing earlier about being the R-rated thing. Like, okay, so it broke a record for a platform that was not as fully engaged 6 months earlier when Avengers went on sale.
Right. It's kind of like, we talked about this for, what was that? I didn't see the Asian comedy that I really wanted to see that you saw.
Crazy Rich Asians?
No. No, with Awkwafina. Yeah.
Following.
The family or the...
The Farewell. You
know, Farewell, yeah.
We got it.
We're seeing... Yes!
Nailed it.
So, with that, remember they were like, it outsells initial tickets for Avengers or like...
Right,
like,
yeah.
But it was like, oh, it only opened in 4 theaters.
Right, it was per theater.
Yeah, per theater. Yeah. And so it was like, well, I mean... Technically.
Right. No, that's a great analogy. That's exactly how I interpreted that headline. And that's why I was like, whatever. Mm. You know, and yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hit me with some hard-hitting Penn Cinema, Penn Ketchum news.
No Time to Die wrapped.
Yeah. Well, a bunch of movies wrapped this week, right?
Why is that? Is that I guess because they plan to not film through the winter, so they sort of are scheduled to wrap up before they get to the holidays so their stars can go do holiday stuff?
Well, I think it's that plus turnaround time. These movies are all slated for what? Spring? Summer?
Yeah, spring.
So, I mean, that's... is Bond in the fall?
No, I thought Bond was in the spring.
Okay, it might be. Yeah. Yeah. So...
What do we have? Ghostbusters, No Time to Die, and Army of the Dead?
Yeah. Get ready for ads. Because now that they're done, promotional material is going to start popping up for these things.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah. The Ghostbusters remake.
What?
Well, it's a continuation, technically.
Yeah. I can be honest with you. I kind of forgot about that. I remember now that we're talking about it, I remember that we talked about it when it first was news. But isn't that interesting? It went through so much... I mean, it filmed the whole thing. They wrapped production, and there was no news out of it. Nobody broke an ankle.
What?
Nobody sprained their elbows.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
I was expecting the No Time to Die thing to be like, they wrapped filming at the funeral of, you know, someone on the set or something.
So. And then on the other end of the spectrum, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who, you know, I thought we had agreed on this podcast, David.
Dwayne Johnson.
I thought we had agreed that we could just call him Dwayne Johnson.
We can, but when I was writing this down,
can't we have a policy?
It was easier for me to say The Rock.
You're why he doesn't sleep at night. Mm. I think he sleeps just fine.
He probably does not think about me at all.
David, who?
What if I got a tweet or something? Right. You are right. I always think about you.
Is that your Dwayne Johnson impression?
Yeah, it is. Also, he listens to the show.
So, No Time to Die, Ghostbusters and Army of the Dead rap production, and Black Adam, starring esteemed actor and very successful person Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Begins production, or no, it's to begin production next summer.
Right.
What do we know about this?
Black Adam, spinoff of Shazam.
Oh, nice.
I'm surprised it's still happening. Black Adam in the comics is the evil version of Shazam, like a guy who got the power in like Egyptian time.
Yeah. Didn't we see him in the cave? Or some allusion to him in the cave?
Maybe. I don't remember.
No?
But I'm still kind of surprised they're doing it, because they've been saying they're going to make him an anti-hero like they did Venom.
Mm.
And I'm kind of surprised by that. So, we'll see. I love The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, Dwayne Johnson.
Excuse me.
He's proclaimed himself as a grade A actor for me. So I'm good with what he does. I mean, he hasn't always done the best movies, but his acting is good.
Well, his acting is good, and the thing that I want to give him props for is he's funny.
Yeah.
Like, there's no two ways about it. He's got good, funny timing.
His comedic timing is great.
Yeah. Speaking of comedians.
Oh.
Yeah. Batty Bats.
Oh. Batty Battinson.
Robbie Batty Battinson. I mean, we're going to talk about The Lighthouse, right?
Right.
And so I saw it.
Yeah, I saw
so
it.
We're going to talk about it.
Whoa. Who would have thought?
What are the odds? And so he's confirming, this is an interesting headline. I saw the same headline.
Yeah.
You put it in the show notes, but I did see the article and I thought it was interesting. And it said his voice, I just can't quite, I don't know how to, whatever. I'll read the headline and then we'll talk about it. Robert Pattinson revealed that his voice for the Batman is both piratey and partly inspired by Willem Dafoe from The Lighthouse. What?
I know. This just sounds crazy to me because I read this like after seeing The Lighthouse.
Right. And Willem Dafoe, did I.
Yeah, he's like, oh, the grass is so green on the other side and I sail the ship on the south and the north. I mean, that's probably a direct quote.
Probably. Are we getting an Irish Batman?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
or was it a Scottish Batman?
Scottish Batman.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Remind me when we talk about The Lighthouse to talk about where in the world it took place.
Is he supposed to be Irish or Scottish?
I think he's just supposed to be like fool up sailor. like just strong.
Roger that.
Yeah.
Understood.
I don't know. Like, I'm really curious. After seeing The Lighthouse, well, not that I doubted. I didn't put enough faith into him. I mean, I've seen him in stuff, Robert Pattinson, but Batty Bats, but he was so good in that. Like,
my excitement for Batman jumped up,
yeah,
and then jumped back down.
Down.
Because his performance in The Lighthouse made me think, like, Batman's going to be incredible.
Ooh.
The Batman is going to be great. And then this dumb quote... I'm gonna do my voice. Like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I'm not starting to think. I just now had this thought. Maybe he just has a bad, like, media agent.
Yeah.
Like, who lets him say stupid shit like this?
Yeah.
Like, real good. Nobody ever asked De Niro, you know, how are you gonna play the voice?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I read the beginning of the article, and then I saw the video it was pulled from was from some, I think it was a Lighthouse red carpet or some red carpet or whatever. Okay. And the look on his face was very much like, hey, I'm just joking around, like we're just talking about things. I'm like, hey, yeah, I mean, maybe I'll do like a parody voice or like.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. That makes me feel a little bit better about the whole thing, because if he's just fooling around and sort of talking and sort of, you know, whatever. Taking it with a grain of salt, that's fine. That actually makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, I don't
think
it's
restores my confidence.
Full on pirate. I think he's just like, yeah, maybe I pull some inspiration from this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. We need to follow up on a story from last week.
I can't wait.
We were talking about how our boy, Kevin Feige, is now CEO of something.
Marvel.
Chief executive something Marvel. And we were like, what does that mean for TV? Well, Jeff Leob is out. He was the guy who was previously doing the television shows. And I'm not saying that he's done badly or that he was someone who always did negative things. But I do attribute the reasons that Marvel TV shows did not stay connected to the movies to his directional abilities. And I do not think that it is a coincidence that Feige gets put in charge and the guy who was kind of steering it in a different direction is no longer in charge. And now they're announcing Cloak and Dagger got canceled. I'm sure Runaways is going to get canceled. Like all the fringe shows that were like, this Leob guy was just like putting Marvel shows out left and right on any channel he could get it on. And like there was no
coherence.
Now with Disney Plus, like,
yeah,
get ready.
So it's time for the Penn Cinema Podcast to introduce a new segment.
Oh.
I didn't want to tell you about this before, but I think you're going to really dig it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. This is called Penn Translates for the Listeners What David Just Said.
Oh, really?
Well, you're pretty up there.
Yeah.
You're pretty heady stuff.
Sometimes when I speak, if you don't have an Oxford Dictionary,
you
don't know all the words.
Exactly. Exactly, my friend. So here's, for our listeners, allow me to help you translate what David just said. And I quote, I'm not saying that Jeff Loeb is the worst guy ever, but he sucks. And that's why he's out. End quote. you tried to pussyfoot all around. And say, I'll say all these qualifying things and all this kind of stuff. But you were definitely like talking about that guy at the party, saying he's a nice guy and all, but he's a total asshole.
I don't mean any offense, but
don't take this wrong way. Remember that scene in Seinfeld when they're in the diner and Jerry's like, I don't think she likes you. And George says, what did she say? And Jerry said, I don't like him.
I don't like him. That's okay. All right.
Is that fair enough? Do you stand by that translation?
I do. Called it. Nailed it.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. If you need further translation services for a small fee, I'm happy to translate.
Oh, wow.
I can translate for a lot of people, too.
Yeah. Not just me?
Right.
Is there an app for that? Like is it a Google Translate option?
Right.
All right.
Tell me about Fantastic Beasts, because, God, I hope it starts filming soon.
All right. Fantastic Beasts, the third movie, they're set to start filming in February.
Yes.
After the last one, I'm almost surprised there is a third one, to be honest. But I don't know. I guess the franchise is still alive.
Yeah. I think the franchise has moved from being at the Harry Potter. We'll talk about tiers.
Yeah.
And you have Avengers and you have Star Wars. And for you listeners, I'm gesturing with my hand. The top of the mountain is Avengers. And then one tier down is Star Wars, still king of the box office.
And then the Penn Cinema Podcast live events.
And then the Penn Cinema Podcast. And, I mean, I'm trying to think. To me, the next tier down is like Harry Potter. Back in the day, it was Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, certainly... I hate to say it, but like the Twilight series, like some of these, The Hobbit, some of these ones that sort of people would go crazy. And thinking back to the good old days, like remember like the good old midnight screenings, like when they were actually at midnight, that was so fun. Yeah. And people would pack the place for them. And what I'm saying is, I think Fantastic Beasts has just moved from that group down to just being a good solid franchise.
Okay.
It's a good solid franchise. What is it? Isn't it Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good solid guy. You know, he's nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with this franchise. To me, it moves forward, and I'm not the least bit surprised, and I'll look forward to seeing it.
Okay.
But I'm just not going to organize my life around making sure I'm home that weekend.
Now a segment I like to call. Let's translate for that. Yeah, I mean, it's a movie.
Right. I guess what I'm trying to say is, and I don't know, you just said it sort of as a passing thought, but I'm not at all surprised there's a third one, and I bet you there'll be a fourth one.
Yeah, you're probably right. This franchise is far from,
like
it's nowhere near dead.
It has a rich source from which to draw.
Right. Oh.
That's a grown-up sentence right there.
Whoa.
Yeah. What's up? How do you like me now?
Well, all right. I'm like you almost as much as this tease that they put out, right? Wonder Woman, 1984. They started filming this, I think, back in 1984, with how long it's been they've been talking about it. But they're starting to tease that we're going to get our first trailer around the Sao Paulo December Comic-Con.
Who's Patty Jenkins?
The director.
Okay.
She directed the first one as well.
Okay.
So
this is Warner's.
Yeah.
So it's not going to come out with Star Wars.
No.
Right.
I don't know what to think. I mean, okay, no. I don't know what to say here because I feel like the trailer should have been out this summer. Like, I don't get.
When does it get released?
I guess next year sometime. Early. Spring, summer.
I don't know. I think that alone tells you everything you need to know about Wonder Woman 1984.
At one time, we did report on it, so I feel like we should know, but I don't. I think it was in the list of when we were like, everything was coming out in 2020.
Right. Early 2020.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are coming out in 2020, and I think I said this before, and I'll just repeat myself.
Oh, please.
I'm psyched for Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
I hope that it does. I remember, I've told this story before, I remember seeing the poster for Chipmunks. and thinking how stupid this was. It was a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying it's my favorite franchise, but it did well. It was well made. It was funny. It was, for what it is, it was great.
Okay.
I hope they do a good job with Tom and Jerry.
I hope they do, too. I mean, I like the characters. It'd be cool if, at the bare minimum, we walked away with a movie that I could say, kids will like that movie.
What's the dog movie that came out Christmas time in 2000? I think it was 2012. It was an old cartoon. What's a cartoon dog? I'm like totally.
Bolt?
No, Bolt was good. I'm talking about this was all. Oh, Yogi Bear. Yogi came out Christmas time and it was awful.
That famous dog, Yogi Bear.
Shut up, David.
Everyone remembers that famous dog, Yogi Bear.
And he had that little short dog.
Boo Boo Bear.
And they hung around with their friend Fozzie the Bear.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, okay. The ultimate crossover.
Oh, wow. I must have missed that.
When I tell stories.
Okay. Yeah. No,
when
I'm,
I tell
I'm
stories
here.
About how a movie can disappoint at the box office uh-huh. and ruin a holiday season, I always talk about Yogi Bear.
Oh, really?
So I'm hopeful that Tom and Jerry is more like the Chipmunks and less like that famous dog movie, Yogi Bear.
Fair enough. Look.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo. I didn't even know how to segue away from this because it was such a perfect.
Why do we have to segue away from it? Let's
like,
keep talking about Yogi Bear the dog.
Look, a script probably just as good as Yogi Bear the dog.
Stop it. Do we know people behind Tom and Jerry?
No, I'm talking about something else.
Oh, you're moving on?
Yeah.
All right, real quick before you move on.
Okay.
Remind me.
Oh, we didn't even say what the news was about Tom and Jerry.
Right. So the news is that they moved the release from April, spring of 21, to, you got it, December of 20.
I think that's a fine Christmas movie.
It's a fine Christmas movie as long as the damn movie's good.
Right.
So here's my thing. Somebody remind me between now and Saturday when we do the live podcast, I want to report on who the director, like who's behind Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
Do we have reason to hope that it's going to be good?
Maybe.
I'm going to check it out and put it on our Facebook page. We'll talk about it more on Saturday.
A full report on Saturday, live in front of
a studio
millions
audience
of people. Script writing has begun for Pirate 6. I didn't think that. I thought the series was like, I don't want to say dead in like a bad way, but I thought they were like moving on or rebooting. But I guess Pirate 6, here we come. How do you feel about that?
Oh, my God. I'm so conflicted because I love Pirates.
Yeah. Well, the first couple.
I love Johnny Depp. I love the franchise. I agree with you. It got old. It wore thin. But I still loved it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even care.
It's like me with the Transformers movies up until the last one.
Kinda. Yeah. 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 So I'm super conflicted because on the one hand, I want to be, like, over-the-top excited for this. But on the other hand, I'm scared to death. Like,
right?
Really?
Yeah.
We're still doing this?
Still, it's been
a
while,
long time.
Oh, too long. Unless they have like a triumphant resurgence type storyline, and they bring like everyone back, and it's really good. But if they just like continue onward with some, I don't know what I'm saying.
Is there any chance they have a new lead?
They could. I mean, well, that's they kind of introduced those two characters in the last one, the son and daughter of the two.
Yeah.
So. All right. Here.
Awkward.
Yeah. Here's some. Take this news how you want to take it.
I was really interested in hearing your take on this.
Okay. And I'm a little. I don't know where to go with this one.
Conflicted?
Yeah, Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, they're no longer making their Star Wars movies. Now, here's what they said in their doohickey mabob. They were like, look, we're just so wrapped up in all of our Marvel projects. We don't feel like we can give, not Marvel, our Netflix projects.
HBO projects.
Their video on demand stuff, their series. Right. that they don't feel like they have the time and creative energy to put into a Star Wars trilogy of their own. Now, I think that's great that they realized that and that they're moving away. And I don't think that they deserve all the hate that they got from season 8, right? Whatever the last season was of Game of Thrones, that everyone's like, ah. So I'm kind of sad to see them go because I think that they are capable of doing great things. At the same time, I don't feel like the Star Wars franchise would have let them do all that they could do.
What? Okay. What? Riddle me this. What Star Wars movies are we talking about?
Okay. So, the main story, quote unquote, ends with Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Right.
If it was Marvel, we would call it a phase, right?
Right.
Right.
So these characters, the story for these characters are supposed to be over. Right. Now, there's two other trilogies in the works. Rian Johnson. I know. Did you see? Someone just got a shiver down.
Somebody just walked over my grave.
He supposedly has one that takes place, I don't remember. One of them takes place, like, continuing in the universe, and one of them takes place in the past, unconnected to our main character stories, like separate in-universe Star Wars things. Could be cool, given the right direction, given the right characters. I mean, I think part of the reason that this last trilogy has suffered so much is its dependence on established characters.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're having this conversation again. Where do you get off saying that this trilogy has suffered?
I mean, I don't know if you saw the last movie.
I think this trilogy has been awesome.
Has it?
Has it, though?
I mean...
Wait, can we just take a little sidebar?
Look, I know people that Monday night when tickets went on sale, the people were online and they're like, I'm not buying tickets. They've killed it.
They're morons. They're gonna buy tickets, yeah, and they're gonna bitch because they don't have good seats because they didn't because they waited.
The next week they'll be like, oh yeah, of course I saw it. I just didn't go opening night.
Oh yeah, I showed them.
Yeah, they didn't get my money in the first 24 hours.
I watched it four times instead of six.
How do you know what my life is like?
I want to make a little sidebar.
Okay.
So I'll tell you a funny story about how Penn Cinema runs, like behind the scenes.
Okay.
So me and Drew were down in, we were somewhere else on Monday night dealing with some stuff.
Yeah.
And I felt like we kind of had a game plan.
Yeah.
We're dealing with some problems, dealing with some whatever, normal stuff that happens.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things we need to, So we spent the evening putting stuff together and getting key players in position and getting everybody's buy-in and reviewing priorities and putting together a game plan. So we're all pretty much done.
Yeah.
And we're pretty much wrapped up. And I said to Drew, I said, well, okay, so we're good. We're good. We know what we're doing. We're good. And Drew, I said, we know what we're doing. And Drew goes, do we though? Really? After like 3 hours of like working and planning and meeting and buying, and I got all, do we though?
I can relate.
Yeah, so that's how you feel about Star Wars.
Yeah.
But am I, like, seriously? All right. I want somebody else besides you. I want a replacement.
How could you ever know I want anyone other than me?
I want a replacement, David.
Oh.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. Isn't David the only one who thinks the second Star Wars sucked? Are you telling me the whole interweb like hates the second one and I somehow missed that post?
So you're saying I'm the only one person that doesn't like The Last Jedi.
Right.
My dude. Have you been to the internet?
I got one of those computers that doesn't have the interrupts.
Okay. Your mom picked up the line. You got disconnected. Mom! I'm trying to look at Star Wars news!
Meatloaf! I could have shot you just then! You know, I guess when I think back to some of the hate that I saw on the interwebs, I just discounted it.
Oh.
I didn't realize that actual people, like, you know what I mean? I figured it was the Russians.
They got the elections. They got
right,
Star Wars.
Right, they got Star Wars. My man.
They don't give up.
What?
They want it all.
So it's really interesting to me because I have no problem whatsoever with The Last Jedi. Suck on that. Deal with it.
I'm going to Reddit this week, and I'm putting our email out, and I'm just saying, if you didn't like The Last Jedi, I don't care if you've never heard of us, I want you to write in and tell me how you hated it, and then just watch the emails explode. Yeah. Okay. We've covered the news.
Wait. Have we, though? Really?
Have we? I had one of those moments with you tonight when I was like, what's up with the film festival? And you're like, oh, I sent you info. Did you, though?
Yeah. And then we had a discussion about whether I emailed it to him or texted it to him.
Which you didn't either.
Which it turned out what I had done was created an event
just
on Facebook
invited me to it.
And invited David to it. What?
I got the info.
Right.
Right?
You're in the loop. Jeez, God.
All right.
I guess I need to spell it out for you.
Please do. Translator. Get the translator.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
The Force Awakens.
Okay.
Scale 1 to 10, how were you? How excited were you for The Force Awakens?
Oh.
Scale 1 to 10.
13. Yeah, I was off the charts.
Yeah, okay. The Last Jedi, scale 1 to 10. How excited were you before you saw it? How excited were you? Your first answer was 13. So now on a scale of 1 to 10, you were...
8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Right. The Force Awakens, I thought was okay. I was ready for more.
Oh, my God.
I wanted more.
You're unbelievable.
The Force Awakens made me want more. Like, I was excited for where it was going, but
was in between Force Awakens and Last Jedi?
Oh, Rogue One.
Rogue One.
I love Rogue One so
loved
much.
Rogue One. How did you feel about Solo? Okay.
Yeah.
So now all that wraps up. We come to the conclusion of the Skywalker saga.
Right.
Scale 1 to 10, where are you at?
For Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah. Podcast@penncinema.com. We're going to talk about this more on Saturday. We're
going to
talk about this on Saturday.
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I'm putting that question out there. We're going to talk about this, and if you want to come and
argue with me.
Argue with David, because I bet you, let me answer my question. The Force Awakens, I was also a 13.
Okay.
The Last Jedi, I was a solid 10.
Okay.
The Rise of Skywalker.
If you even say 13.
We'll talk about that more on Saturday. See, that's no cool, because I don't know what sound you just made.
It was the wrong one. I was looking for... there we go.
He can't even get the right sounds. He's here knocking the best franchise in the history of movies, and he can't even hit the right sound effect.
Yeah, I'm trying. It kind of worked until he called me out on it, too, though.
It would have worked?
Yeah.
All right, so on Saturday, we're going to talk about who's behind Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about how excited we are on a scale of 1 to 10 for the Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And that is the conclusion of...
of news. Are you going
to
lead us into trailers?
I'm going to lead us into trailers. Speaking of projects that you're not excited for and that you probably think suck, the Mandalorian trailer 2 is our first trailer because we're going to implement the Pirate Dave rule and we're going to include trailers for things that aren't coming to the theaters.
Right.
Because
right.
If it's good, it's good.
If it's good, it's good.
Mandalorian?
Yeah.
I'm a 13.
Dude.
I'm excited for it, and I'm more excited after watching this new trailer.
Dude. That's my trailer of the week.
That's your trailer of the week?
That's my trailer of the week. I am more excited for The Mandalorian than Rise of Skywalker. All our mics just fell off and they dropped. Ted is just, he can't even make eye contact. He's just shaking his head. He's like, he doesn't know what to say. He's upset. He's hurt.
What's Little Joe about?
Little Joe?
We'll get to that in a minute, but remind me which trailer Little Joe was.
The plant one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so The Mandalorian is also my trailer of the week.
Okay.
So we don't really need to talk about it. This trailer's great. If you're into Star Wars, or even if you're a poser like David, you know, you're going to enjoy this.
It looks like the kind of Star Wars I want to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, that's fair enough. Yeah. You know what? That's fair enough.
I'm just saying this looks like the kind of Star Wars I want to see. Yeah.
I thought it was Boba Fett, which shows you how ignorant I am.
Yeah,
they
dude.
Just wear the same, similar.
Yeah. The Mandalorians is a species.
Yeah.
Or a planet.
Yeah,
I can't. It was a planet of people or something. Yeah.
Well, anyway, The Mandalorian looks amazing.
As
long as we're on this topic, I don't think we're going to be able to talk about it, but the Rise of Skywalker final trailer opened after we recorded, right?
Yeah.
It did. We recorded last week, and then the Patriots beat the Giants on Monday Night Football, and during that, they released a new Star Wars trailer.
I could not have told you who played football that night. But... yeah.
But you were tuned in. Did you watch a trailer on TV?
No.
Watch it online later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to toot my own hipster horn, but I don't have TV.
Oh.
I mean, let me get even more hipster for you, and I'm not taking my glasses off for that reason. But I actually do have TV. I just have never hooked it up.
Oh, my God.
So I pay for it because it's cheaper to have
so
it with my
hip.
Internet. But I don't even hook
so
it up.
Freaking hip. You're like that sign that says no hipsters. Get out of here with your furry face.
Yeah.
You know, all your stuff. And then at the bottom of the sign it says, wait, no, that's hamsters. No hamsters
no
allowed.
No hamsters allowed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you like the trailer? What'd you think?
I actually thought it was pretty good. I think the first one gave me more goosebumps than this one did. This one just showed a lot of really cool images.
Yeah.
I liked that. I liked the scenery, the imagery. Like, not a lot of story stuff or anything.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't really... You know, I don't need that. We know what's going on.
Ridley.
Yeah?
Love her.
You love her. She's great. I'm looking forward to things. People told me they cried when C-3PO was like,
yeah,
goodbye, my friends.
Yes. I'm taking one more look around.
Yeah.
Problem, of course, is he's a robot, so... Is he, though?
Is he?
Okay.
All right.
Next trailer, The Grudge.
Okay, are you a fan of The Grudge?
No.
I watched both of them, the original and Sarah Michelle Gellar one.
Okay.
I don't like horror films, and they're spooky spooks. This looks spooky spooks good. I don't intend to watch it.
I have horror fatigue.
And there's a lot of horror on this list this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of the horror on this week, this is the best one.
I agree.
Okay, then we're going to move on to an interesting one, Bloodshot. The Valiant comics make their way to the movies with Vin Diesel as Bloodshot. Can you tell me what this movie is about?
No, and that's why I loved this trailer, and I'm actually excited to see this movie.
Okay.
I was watching the trailer kind of like, all right, just watching the trailer because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. And David puts it on the list. I watch it.
Yeah.
And I was rolling along. And then all of a sudden, you realize, wait a minute.
Something's up here.
There's more to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. It reminded me a little bit of the what's the Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise movie?
Right.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved that movie.
Yeah, I like that movie.
And
in
this one kind of reminded me of that same, like, trippiness, you know, as it relates to time. You know, I love messing with time. Like, well,
do you want me to fill you in?
Yeah.
It's not time they're messing with.
It's just his...
It's his brain. So
even better.
He's an assassin
yeah.
with these, like, nanobites that can heal him instantly, whatever.
Right.
And what they do is the nanobites let them rinse his brain.
Yeah.
And every time they wake him up and they're like, we just woke you up. We just made you.
Oh, yeah.
This guy killed your wife.
Gotcha.
And every time the guy who killed their wife is a different person they want him to kill. So.
Yeah, this is close to being trailer of the week just because it looked interesting.
Yeah.
I do not like Vin Diesel, but the movie is interesting enough that I'll watch it.
Some of the CG towards the end of the trailer, I was like, yeah. But we'll see. It could be fine. All right. I see you.
So I can't talk about this trailer without telling you a funny story.
Okay, please do.
I ran this weekend in the Marine Corps Marathon.
Whoa.
And the whole event is put on by Marines, which is really special because the whole way through the entire race, they're high-fiving you, they're refilling your water bottles. They are the volunteers for the race. Most of the time when you go to race, there's like regular Joe Schmo people, but every volunteer the whole length of the course is a freaking Marine.
That's awesome.
And it's really special. And late into the race, when you're like really tired and really struggling, there was this one Marine. We're coming up, coming to get my water bottle filled, and guy says to me, "I see you." And it was like really validating and supportive and like kind of badass, you know what I mean, in a way. And so I was running with my friend John, and the whole rest of the day, and even since then, like this morning, he texted me, "I see you." And it was like really cool. So then I just thought that was cool. And then I pull up this trailer list, and here it is, this movie, which I didn't find that interesting.
No. No, this movie.
The most interesting thing about this movie is the story I just told you about running with the Marines.
Some little kid goes missing and somebody did it and this family suspects each other.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Okay, so Antlers. Another
trailer two.
Another horror movie. Ugh. Another, like, whatever, weird.
Yeah, the kid's dad's a monster or something. And the teacher is like, "What's up with this weird kid?"
I wonder. You know how we like Star Wars and we like Avengers and we like X-Men and we like Deadpool.
And good things.
And we like Joker and, you know, all this stuff. I wonder if there's people who love horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, they can't get enough. Like, they're going to see Grudge. They're going to see Antlers. They're going to, and they're like psyched. And they're like, oh, good, Avengers. Oh, Star Wars is coming out. Another superhero movie. Which, first of all, Star Wars is not a superhero movie, but if you're into that kind of stuff, you're probably calling it a superhero movie.
Hondo P, as you would say.
Yes, as Marley would say. What's up, Marley Bear?
What's up, Marley?
Braha with the braha.
Braha with the braha.
Brahas with the braha.
All right. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a whole streaming service called Shudder that's just horror movies.
Yeah.
So they're out there enough to support that, sure. Yeah, totally. 100%. Hondo P.
Hondo P. All right, so that's not us.
No.
Code 8.
Okay.
Please, after you.
I saw many articles raving about how this short film, indie film, Code 8, is coming out, and it stars the guy from Arrow, and it's a passion project, and you should definitely check it out, and blah, blah, blah. And then I watched the trailer and thought, you don't. It's like a bank robbery goes wrong, but yet everyone also has superpowers. Everyone? I didn't understand what was going on.
You know what?
And I feel like I follow things for you.
You know what this movie triggered for me?
Sleep?
Well, it triggered my instinct where there aren't enough minutes in the day.
And you turned it off.
I did. I only have so many minutes, David.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't.
I mean, they're not unlimited.
You made a good call.
Yeah.
You made
I did not
call.
Watch a whole trailer.
Did you rewatch the Doolittle trailer instead? Because you should have.
I rewatched the Dolomite trailer and got myself in a bad mood again.
Oh, snap.
Little Joe. Okay. All right, this movie looks really, really good.
Yeah.
This trailer was right up there for me with Trailer of the Week. Had a couple interesting twists. It reminds me a little bit, I guess it's intended to, of Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with that plot line. It also reminded me of a lot of movies where, I'm trying to think of a good example, and I'm coming up short, but like a lot of movies where there's like a mom who works in an environment and she sort of steals something to save her child, but then it ends up kind of screwing everything up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This movie looks interesting. I'll definitely watch it.
I think it's going to be, I use this term lightly, Fight Club-esque.
Yeah.
In that there's perceptions that are going to be challenged. Like, you're going to think the whole time, this is my guess, she's fine and the plants are messing with everyone else. It's going to turn out that she wasn't the one that the plants were messing with and everyone else was fine or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a little bit of a twist like that. Because you're not going to be able to trust anyone or anything like that. So, yeah. All right. That was my definite run-up for trailer of the week.
Yep.
I also really enjoyed this second trailer for The Aeronauts. But I didn't feel like it showed a ton of new things, but I don't think it needed to.
I wasn't sure that we hadn't already seen this.
Yeah. At the beginning of it, I was like, there was some stuff towards the end that was definite, like, new footage. Right. And the big thing is that it listed it as an Amazon original.
Right.
Which I didn't... I think since we started doing the show, they were very ambiguous when something was Amazon, Netflix, whatever. And they didn't tell you to the last minute, you know? And that's why we kept running into things where we were like, does this qualify or whatever? Is it video on demand? And now I think they're kind of starting to turn that around a little bit. Be a little bit, is braggy the right word? It's like, oh yeah, this is us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little more confident.
Confident. There you go.
Yeah. So I dealt with Amazon today.
Okay.
Booking Honey Boy.
Okay.
And she wanted to open it on such and such a date. And I said, when is it go on Amazon? And she said, it will have a full theatrical window. So I thought, all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'll be really curious to see, because Aeronauts, there was discussion that this could be released in IMAX.
Really?
Which would be amazing.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah. So I'll be really interested to see what Amazon... So first of all, let's talk about the trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer for Aeronauts, dial it up. It's Eddie Redmayne and what's-her-face.
Now I can't remember because it always happens.
Right.
But from Rogue One.
Yeah, she's great.
Felicity Jones.
Felicity Jones. Really? From Rogue One.
Yeah, she's the main star from Rogue One.
I know, but it's just funny to me.
What did you want me to say? The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, that's exactly that's what I thought you were going to say.
Also from My Dreams.
I want you to pick the worst movie they made.
And that's the one I remember them from.
Like when I die, the headline's going to be like, Penn Ketchum tried to build a theater in York. You may remember him from when he tried to build a theater in York.
Refusing to milk a cow.
Right. Ben Ketchum, anti-cow refuser. Oh, my God. All right.
What happened this week in the theater, week and a half?
We were pretty, you know, it's pretty quiet weekend. I mean, it was good movies. Joker reclaimed, just like it did nationwide, reclaimed the top spot.
Okay.
So that was kind of interesting. I don't think there was any news. I think that every movie that came out sort of did what we thought it would do.
Okay. I think that kind of brings us up to date and into the Lighthouse's discussion, but to tie them together.
Please do.
You think that they all performed as expected? Because if you would have told me I would have difficulty getting in to see The Lighthouse, I would have said, bullshit. But instead, every showing of The Lighthouse was down to like 1 to 2 like seats. And it was kind of, I was excitedly shocked because I was not expecting that from this movie.
Yeah. Lighthouse beat Downton Abbey,
The
Current War, Countdown, Western Stars, Judy, and Black and Blue, a big wide release movie they thought was going to do business that completely flopped.
Yeah, I didn't think that looked that great.
No, it looked like crap, but you thought it would do business. Mm-hmm. Lighthouse absolutely overperformed, and it did better than I thought it would. I left it, people who know me, who worked with me, know that sometimes I get, I put personalities on movies in theaters.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm leaving Lighthouse where it is.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's so perfect for Theater One. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's really perfect there. I'm going to leave it there for its entire run.
I'm going to agree with you with this. Now, I had the pleasure of watching this movie in the front row, fully reclined, staring straight up because it's so close. It's great. But when I left, I was like, this movie needs the small, intimate experience.
And it's flat. which in case there's a listener that doesn't know, there's two types of movies. One is called scope, which is what people at home call widescreen. Mm-hmm. So it's more like a rectangle like this. And then flat is when it's square. It's right. more like a box. And this movie, like The Irishman, is flat. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was perfect for a smaller, one of those smaller houses. Yeah.
You weren't around. Did you hear anything of talk from people coming out of the theater about it?
No, but I've been around all week. It's Wednesday night, so okay. I did have a chance to catch up with audiences this week. And, yeah, I mean, very positive, very positive in the sense of, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
You know, like, very weird. You know, people, a lot of people came out scratching their heads, but they all came out like, wow, that was cool.
Right. The looks on the faces of some of the people as I was leaving was a mix between, like, fully pleased, slightly confused to, like, what did I just watch? Yeah. Kind of like, I was wondering if maybe they leaned heavy on the horror angle, and as a result, maybe some people came in for horror and did not expect what the lighthouse was.
I would like to talk to the woman, who I don't know who this is, but I just know, statistically speaking, there was a woman who came in this weekend to see Robert Pattinson's new movie because she's a big Twilight fan. And could you imagine?
Oh, my word.
She hated this movie.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. What did you think of The Lighthouse?
I was all over the place.
Yeah.
When the movie opened, my initial reaction was like, oh, my God, I love this movie. This is the best movie I ever saw.
Yeah.
This is my favorite movie of the year. Like, I'm saying those are the emotions I had, like, in the first 2 or 3 minutes with that long opening where mm-hmm. there's no dialogue and it's just that motor churning and the boat disappears into the fog.
And then they're standing about next to each other, yeah. just, like, picturesque.
Yeah, and you love the black and white, the black and white look. By the time I got to the end of the movie, I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you. At the beginning of it, I was like, this is going to be amazing. This is a movie I'm going to be telling people about for a long time. Right. Get ready. I'm going to be like, you didn't see The Lighthouse? Well, pinky's out. I did.
Like The Artist.
Yeah. But this, it got weird.
I don't have a problem with weird.
Yeah, but it's like it didn't pass the level of weird where it was like super out there because it kept bringing it back.
Right.
And so that rubber banding was very off-putting.
Yes.
And I wanted it to either go like fully crazo or add a little bit more of an element to...
A plot
or something, yeah. Because like I was expecting... Batty Bats to go a little nutso, and then for it to be kind of like maybe a little bit of perception from William Dafoe's character of like, what am I going to do with this issue? But instead, it's just Batty Bats the whole time progressively getting more crazy, and then both of them simultaneously snapping.
Right.
And so like the hallucinations don't quite make sense because it's like he's a little crazy, and then he's full crazy, and then he's back to normal.
I wanted a significant plot twist.
Right.
Like, I wanted one of them to prove to be imaginary.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Or something along those lines. Kind of like Fight Club. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like along those lines. Like, I wanted some significant plot twist or to go. Here's my problem.
What's your problem? With Penn.
With Penn. You know what my problem is? I'll tell you my problem.
Yeah.
Here's my problem. My problem is, I didn't think this movie could make up its mind what kind of movie it wanted to be.
Oh.
I think they nailed a look for the movie that was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's why I say when the movie started, I was like, oh, this is, I already determined this is my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, I didn't like it because the look was perfect, but they couldn't make up what kind of movie it wanted to be, and therefore it didn't become any type of movie that was wonderful, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Like they wanted a lot of symbolism, and at times it worked, and then other times it was so heavy-handed, like the final scene where he's clearly depicted as the, I cannot remember his name. I said Sisyphus when I left, and that's
Prometheus.
The guy. Is it Prometheus with the liver?
He flew too. Yeah, flew too close to
that's
the sun.
That's Icarus.
No, that's yeah, but Prometheus did the fire, right?
Prometheus brought fire down.
Right, from the top of the lighthouse.
Yeah, and then that's, okay, good point. Yeah, because he fell from the lighthouse.
Right.
And then he had the raven that ate his liver every day.
Right.
And this, it's the, there's seagulls eating him.
And that whole thing with the seagull was pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
Fighting the seagull, like, during all the way from the beginning of the movie. Like, that was pretty cool.
How did you feel about the black and white aesthetics?
I loved it. I mean, it was totally different. I'm so relieved that they stuck with it. Like, a part of me was worried that the movie was going to turn color. You know how sometimes that happens, like, in a twist? No, that was great. The look, their stylistic approach, even, like, the camera angles looking up at Willem Dafoe, like, everything about it, the cinematography, to me, was flawless. A+.
Yeah. Yeah, it made the gross things grosser to me.
Right.
But at the same time, some of the gross things, it took me a second to realize they were gross. Like the water being, like, black. Yeah. Like, I just didn't pick up that it was black at first. Some of the things that, like, I was expecting to love about it was, like, you know, the scene where they're like, what? What?
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting it to be, like, crazy and memorable.
Right. No.
But then he goes, hark, and then a big soliloquy.
Right.
And the longer the soliloquy went on, the less I loved the scene. The
less impressive it was, because then a perfect example of what I'm talking about is that soliloquy, which was an incredible display of acting skills.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the acting was amazing.
And then Batty Bat's response to that was, okay, I love your food.
Yeah.
I love your cooking. Like, wait, is this a comedy?
Right. And I kind of expected the humor to be him being like, hark, and then just walking away
right.
or whatever. But anyway.
All right.
Are you on board with this
No,
movie?
I'm not.
You're not.
Where I fall on this movie is I would tell people, if you can get a quiet house, this movie would be good enough at home.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm with you there. I don't know that I'll ever recommend it, but I can't say that I regret seeing it.
No, I would definitely recommend it. I would not necessarily urge people to go spend $13, $13.50, you know, to see it in the theater, because if you wait a while and it comes home and you... Now, the trick is you can't watch this movie while you're doing other stuff.
No.
This movie demands your full attention.
Boom.
Phone's off, pinky's out.
Yeah. My pinky's fell asleep. All right, let's move on. To listener notes and questions.
Yes, I thought this week's note from Mystery Gobble was among the best notes we've ever, gotten.
Of course.
David.
You did. All right, so Mr. Gobble wrote in and he said, hey, you hate Star Wars. Mr. Hater McHateface.
Hater McHatey Pants.
Yeah, Hater McHatey Pants the third. But this John Simmons guy wrote a Star Wars review back in the day for original Star Wars trilogy stuff. And he hated it so bad, even Siskel and Ebert were like, yo, slow your roll, Jabroni. Like, you don't need to hate this nearly as much as you do. And he was like, well, and then when the new trilogy came out, or I can't remember if it was the new trilogy or the prequels, like, they pulled it out to be like, people still hated Star Wars then, so it's not like a new thing.
Mm.
But did you read the guy's article?
No.
Okay, no, I didn't get a chance to read it. Yeah, and the Mystery Gobble was like, do you have the gumption to stick to your...
The noive.
Yeah. To stick to your guns and hate Star Wars for the rest of your life, like John Simmons has. And the answer is, no, I want to watch The Mandalorian really bad. So no. Let me hate right now. Yeah. I'll love later.
Mr. Dr. Biopic.
Mr. Dr. Biopic. Okay. Now, we got a letter from the shed.
The shady lady.
The shady lady.
Shady lady.
She says.
She writes in and wants to know, I'm not really sure what her, like, what prompted this, but there's, what, she saw a story about the drones or something like that. And the question is, and I actually have an opinion about this.
Okay.
The question is, are the increasing use of drones affecting movie making?
Yeah.
And I think when you talk about the movies that we're talking about,
yeah,
the answer is no. They have cranes, they have helicopters, they have drones, they've had all this technology, they have all these resources, they have all these tools available to them. And to me, it's a really simple conversation. The answer is no, this is old news.
Right.
But what I will say, this weekend we have the Red Rose Film Festival. And I watched the second most films out of everybody into all the team behind the Red Rose Film Festival. Ian Long, my boy Ian, takes the title. He watched all 130 submissions.
Wow.
Let me rephrase that. All 135 submissions Ian Long watched.
Wow.
Second place goes to Penn Ketchum. I watched 72 films in preparation for the Red Rose Film Festival. Even our own esteemed executive director, Ryan Shank, came in third place.
Wow.
Yeah. It was some significantly lesser number.
Wow.
So my point is, I am currently very well versed on the world of small budget independent movies. And I will say that The Shady Lady is 100% spot on with this level of film, because many of the films that I saw took advantage of drones to create, I don't want to say the illusion, because that makes it sound like I'm knocking them. I'm not knocking them. But it's a pretty manageable, attainable way to make your movie look more professional. You know, to have a drone up high showing the forest and then cut to somebody running through it, you know, or to have the drone showing a train and then cut to somebody riding in the train. So I think she makes a good point in the fact that drones are an increasingly common and available tool for especially for smaller budgeted filmmakers.
Yeah.
I think in Hollywood it's not an issue, but for those of us locally trying to make movies, perfect.
I've been seeing it come up a lot in like really well-made like trip vlogs.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Even like the slow-mo guys use them.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff.
You go to a race, like those of us that are into like endurance sports, like, and they fly drones at almost every race,
right?
Because all their race videos start out with a shot from the sky of the crowd at the start line.
Then everyone has their own personal drone that shoots at them.
Right.
If they don't run fast enough. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Joel Cornett, he wrote in for one. Pendulum Ketchum.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, it's you. He says, you got to watch Dr. Horrible.
What's up?
And then he wrote about four paragraphs trying to convince you to watch Dr. Horrible. Well, we're not going to read all of them, but we are going to say, if you haven't seen Dr. Horrible, I'm saying it's 45 minutes of your time. Only so minutes in the day. So many minutes in the day.
Well, I've got 45.
You got 45. Well, I'm telling you, watch it with Kayla. It's a musical. She likes musicals.
Okay.
You know.
I'm on it.
Singing, dancing.
I'm on it.
Father-daughter time.
Yeah.
Boom.
I just want to say, I really appreciated the sales pitch. Like it was impressive.
Yeah.
Like, Joel is committed. Like, Joel is, what's the word? Like, he wants, he's looking for people to get to watch Dr. Horrible.
Yeah, he is passionate about it.
I dig it.
And another extra shout out to Joel and Jordan, who came out on Sunday to watch Spirited Away with one. A David Moulton.
Did they have to pay extra to watch it with you?
Yeah, they did. I was like,
or did they get a discount?
They walked in and I said, "That's going to be an extra $5 to me."
The premium.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we got even bigger news.
Oh snap!
Take all the news that we talked about earlier.
Put it in the blender.
Put it in a blender, and it pales in comparison.
Okay.
To what we found out this week about Pirate Dave.
Oh my word!
All right, listeners.
Okay.
Sit down.
everyone just sat on the same cat.
Stop what you're doing. Put your smoothie down.
Yeah. Oh, you think people drink smoothies while they listen to our show?
100%.
Yeah, totally.
100%. Some kale smoothies.
If you're not drinking a smoothie right now, make one.
With beet juice.
Then stop drinking it. Because we got news for you.
Go get a smoothie. A beet juice smoothie.
Yeah.
So that you can stop drinking it.
Get ready for this news.
All right. Put down your Clif Bar and brace yourself. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Pirate Dave has a podcast.
Yeah.
What?
What's up with that?
I mean, it's remarkable because you assured me.
We were the only ones.
We were the only two idiots doing a movie podcast. Yeah.
No one else has ever thought to talk about movies.
Right. On a podcast?
Yeah. Here's what surprises me, right? Yeah. He also does, I think it's a weekly podcast, and it's called
The Ones Who Watch.
It's a Heisenberg reference.
Breaking Bad.
And he loves movies so much that not only does he talk about them on his show, he then listens to our show also talking about movies and then writes us about movies.
This guy's hardcore. Now,
he's super hardcore.
I got a question. We're gonna get to how this came up.
Yeah.
Because this came up for a reason. Mm. But before we do, I just want to point out an irony.
Mm.
With no disrespect to anybody.
Yeah.
The show is named, it's a movie podcast.
Right.
It's named after a TV show.
After a TV show.
I'm going to start a movie podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call it No Soup for You.
Are you sure you don't want to start a TV podcast and call it The Podcast Awakens?
Right, exactly. Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect, David. Thank you.
Yeah. On point.
I bow to the master. All right, so the news that Pirate Dave shared with us was that, and this is pretty incredible, and we did fact check this because I thought it was pretty cool. You may recall that last week we discussed Zombieland 2 Double Tap, and I compared it to Chinese food in the sense that, like, it was pretty good, and if you like Chinese food, you'll probably like it, you know? And even if you don't like Chinese food, you might like it if you're hungry, like whatever.
Yeah.
Well, on the Ones Who Watch podcast, Pirate Dave and Kyle Imhoff compared Zombieland 2 to Burger King.
Whoa.
Pretty funny, because I've never compared, I've never used food as an analogy before.
And now it's all you can think about.
And now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But that's not news, because I'm always hungry.
Have you tried those Impossible Burgers yet?
I actually have.
Was it dope?
Shout out to Burger King. Here's the thing. Don't tell me that it's not healthy.
Well, I'm not saying that.
I know
it's not vegan.
No, I wasn't pointing.
It's not vegan.
I wasn't pointing to you.
You were, but you didn't actually mean me.
Only metaphorically. You know what would be funny? It would be funny.
He was literally pointing at me.
I just had a great idea. Next week, we're going to record the podcast back to back. We can't see each other.
Film festival?
No, not the live one. Okay. The following week.
Okay.
Like, we're gonna sit at this table, both facing opposite directions, so that I can. What?
Nobody will ever gonna be like, they did this experiment. Couldn't tell a difference.
My mind is blown. I know. All right, listen. I know that the Impossible Burger is still junk food.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's delicious. I had one when Amy and I went up to Connecticut, and we left Connecticut at 10:30 at night, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I pulled into a Burger King and had an Impossible Burger, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
I hit the spot.
I haven't tried one. I might try. I think this week, Dunkin' Donuts starts an Impossible breakfast sandwich.
Huh. Now, what are you saying? It's not vegan. How could it not be vegan if it's plant based?
Well. It's still cooked on the same grill.
Oh.
So it's to eat the juices and all that stuff.
That's probably what makes it taste good.
I mean, probably. So
I reached out this week to our friends at the Lancaster Farm Sanctuary.
Oh.
Speaking of vegans.
Where farms go when they get old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, I just let them know, like, hey, you got a friend at Penn Cinema. So maybe we'll be doing something with them in 2020.
Oh, nice.
So if anybody's friends with them, tell them you heard about them on the podcast. Shout out to our sanctuarial friends. And if you have a farm that's getting to be that age, now you know where to send it.
Hey, we had one last thing come in this week.
This was great.
Andrew Long, he's like, yo, you guys see this trailer for this totally, absolutely new film. And what it was...
definitely true trailer.
Yeah, this 100%. Tell Penn it needs to be talked about immediately. Right. It was a redoing of The Wrath of Khan, as if it was coming out now. I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun with it.
Here's the thing. I did too.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was definitely Star Trek jokes that I didn't get.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was a lot of references that I felt like probably David's laughing, and I didn't get it.
Laughing.
It's impressive to me. It blows my mind how good people are. Like, and God bless them. Like, I love it. I love the fake trailers.
Yeah.
Like, there are really talented people making really...
I know
really
you do.
It's impressive. Like, that's... The people that made that fake trailer we were just talking about, like, that's pretty
high-end.
And
then we get some of the trailers we've reviewed, and you're like,
what? You're like, hey, maybe you guys should go talk to this guy over here that did the fake one, because he could probably make a better trailer
exactly,
for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
So thanks for sending that in, Andrew. Let's watch go over to what we were reading, what we were watching this week. My week was pretty bare. However, I did see Spirited Away as an added bonus this week, which I love that movie. And it was weird because it's been, I don't think I've seen it in theaters, obviously, since it came out. And I've watched it at home a lot. And watching it in the theater was so cool to see it. Like, you get to see, like, how precise the drawing is and some of the really pretty details you just miss. No matter how big your TV is, you just miss it at home. But then the big thing I took home from it was I forgot how, you know, I remembered that I felt this way when I saw it originally, how kind of gross and disturbing some of it is, not in like a bad way, but just like the animation is like convincingly like the drool or something, like, oh, that kind of feels real, or like it's weird, kind of weirding me out a little bit, but I obviously love it. So
cool.
Yeah,
I watched Echo in the Canyon.
What's that?
It's a film about Laurel Canyon, where like Neil Young and Stephen Stills and David Crosby. And what was interesting about it is it's sort of narrated and sort of put together by Bob Dylan's son, Jacob. And it's pretty cool. It was a beautiful, beautiful movie. Really well made if you're into that kind of music. And, you know, you pretty much everybody already knows sort of all the story of how all these people ended up in the same neck of the woods in the first place. But it's really interesting to literally go back and see these people, like, talk through just sort of telling stories and you know, personalizing some of the lore that you already knew. I also watched Marley's recommendation, Designated Survivor. And what's funny about this show, starring Kiefer Sutherland, is Marley and I both had the comment/observation that it's really not that good, but you can't stop watching it. Like, you want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
It's a great show. It's the opposite of what I said about Lighthouse. It's a great show to have on the TV while you're doing something else.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Totally easy.
That made me think of, did you put any effort into seeing, what is it? Is it Laura Rosalind? Laura? The singer. It's playing at Zoe right now.
No, I didn't.
Okay. It looks good.
I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's it for me.
You're going to skip this last little...
Well, I can't remember who was in it or, you know. It's
JT?
About time. No. No, About Time. That's a... I didn't watch Justin Timberlake's movie.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I watched it when it came out, and I loved it.
Right.
I'm talking about the romantic one where the redheaded guy keeps going back in time, like him and all.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
I think is it Rachel McAdams, maybe, is the co-star?
Yeah. Well, he goes, he's like, his dad's like, we have a secret. We can go back in time.
Yeah.
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 I mean, the movie is great. It's totally sappy.
Right.
It's romantic. I loved
just
it.
Just like me.
It's David Moulton, basically,
yeah,
in movie you were
like,
form.
The whole time you were like, will you guys turn off this picture of David that's been on the screen for 2 hours? Like, I want to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week we're not reviewing a movie. We're going to be at the Red Rose Film Festival talking about all sorts of things.
11:30 a.m. on Saturday on the second floor of the Holiday Inn, which formerly used to be the Hotel Brunswick, across street from the Federal Tap House.
On Chestnut. Yeah.
And Queen.
Yep. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be there. We're going to be laughing, joking, our usual rompous selves.
No,
all serious?
That's incorrect.
Oh.
You may be laughing, and hooting and hollering. Oh. But I intend to take it serious. How do you like me now?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be wearing a suit.
What?
I'm going to shave.
That's
probably get a haircut. I'm going to wear clean underwear.
Nah. Nah, I believed a lot of things till you got to that last one.
I have a skill that I can maintain laser focus. So you can come and stand behind David and make faces at me, and I will still do my job.
Yeah.
You know, it is funny. I don't know if anybody here is one of them, but back when I was a manager at the theater, back in the day, we used to have to answer, we used to have to call and put showtimes on, on the phone, and people would try to come and distract me while I was doing it. And it never worked. And then I would try to distract them when they did it, and I got them every time.
That's pretty ballsy to play with the boss.
It's just me. It's just me. So listen, we have the podcast, which is going to be all kinds of fun on Saturday. I intend to have a big breakfast and a bowl of Wheaties.
Whoa.
And Starbucks. Oh, no, Starbucks, I'm not going to have Starbucks because that's isn't that like, that's a faux pas now?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Square One.
Right there on the corner.
Right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Or some other equally hip and awesome independently owned coffee shop.
To be named.
Maybe I'll go to Do-Si-Do first.
You got to fuel up to get your fuel
up to leave Lidditz, get down to Lancaster.
Yeah.
Go to Square One, get my coffee, go to the Holiday Inn. We're going to have the podcast from 11:30 to 1:30, and then we're going to take a break, get something else to eat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't like to work on an empty stomach. And then at 2:30, one David Moulton will be the moderator.
Oh, snap.
For Penn and Chayla, whose panel is called Legit as Shit, Two Film Buyers Spill Their Guts.
Did you change it officially to that?
We did.
Please tell me.
We did.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know if Ryan
appreciates that.
I don't know if Ryan changed it back.
Oh.
And he printed the program before we had a chance to really. Actually, that's not true. We told him what we wanted to name it, and he printed the same boring thing that he had written in the first place.
Do you think this officially puts him as a party pooper?
No, I think it officially puts him as a grown-up,
which
is just as bad. Ryan.
All right. Well, we want to hear from you, podcast at PennCinema.com. Let us know any questions you got, any comments. Send us wacky trailers, whatever. We're here to listen. So,
questions or answers.
Or answers. So, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.